I want to call your attention to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, from which I read a few moments ago. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. And we want to look especially at verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And may God bless His word to our hearts. It is a blow that hits us hard when a member of our church leaves this world and goes to be with the Lord. And I think it is fitting that we address that here together in this service today, since few, if any of you, will be able to go to the funeral tomorrow. I want to give at least something of the message that I hope to give there tomorrow. That will probably be a little more abbreviated, but we'll see how this goes. Just to say a few words concerning our dear sister Johnny. When she was in the second grade, a boy fell in love with her and never got over it. And if he were not on his way home now, I might not say all of this for his sake, but the Lord gave them a long, long time together. Over 63 years of married life together. Johnny came to know the Lord as a young married woman living in Arkansas. And I don't think that Brother Buck would object to my saying that his life at that time probably drove her to church. She was soon instrumental in his attending church and becoming a Christian also. They were baptized together there at that time, all those years ago, and have walked with the Lord ever since. I got to know her as a fellow church member over 27 years ago. And both she and Buck were faithful, have been faithful. I got to know more about them over the years and knew her as a very hard-working individual who poured her life into her husband and children and grandchildren and into many other children. She had a daycare in her home for 46 years. That's over half of her life. She took care of children, about as many as she could fit in her house most years. And her quiet influence around Muskogee, Oklahoma is immeasurable. She took care of multiple generations of children, and she loved them all like family. Johnny is her real name. She was named after her father, whose name was John. She was not a theologian, but she had some practical theology. That others of us need more of. She was kind and gentle and sweet. She was faithful in her devotional life. There are times I've called down there and Buck has answered and I've said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, we're sitting here reading our Bibles." Reading God's Word was such a habit with Johnny that in the last months of her life, when her mental faculties were just really gone, she would still take her Bible in her lap every day and turn the pages faster than anyone could read. And if my memory serves me correctly, I think sometimes Buck said the Bible would be upside down. But that was her habit and her mainstay of her soul. In my last conversation with her 2 weeks ago today, she, among other rather scrambled words of things that were just in her imagination, she did acknowledge the Lord and His care for her family, and she spoke of her desire to come back to church. And our comfort today is that she is gathered with a better assembly now, and we can rejoice in that assurance. But we are not here simply to commemorate a dear friend and sister in Christ who has died. We're here to remember and talk about her Savior who died and rose from the dead. He is the one that we focus upon. But it is His grace in the life of one like Sister Johnny that we rejoice in. Now, let's consider this verse that we've read together, Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death and the day of one's birth. This is one of the more shocking statements in all of the Bible. To say that the day that a person dies is better than the day that they're born. In the whole context here in Ecclesiastes 7, we see a series of these contrasts, and the word better is used quite a few times. I didn't even try to count them all between verse 1 and verse 10. But the contrast here is between the day of one's birth and the day of one's death. And this verse tells us which one is better. It's the day of one's death. And our task is to understand why that is so. And so the first thing that I would say is simply this. The perspective that this verse gives us is counterintuitive. That is, it goes against our natural way of thinking and our natural intuitions. It is commonly stated in various ways that the day of one's birth is better than the day of one's death. We naturally avoid the subject of death, but we enjoy talking about the birth of someone. We dread going to a funeral, but it's a joy to go to a baby shower. Modern man makes humorous remarks about death to keep from having serious thoughts about it. And we all know that in our modern culture, what we call celebrations of life are popular rather than a contemplation of the life hereafter. The focus in most funerals is upon remembering and laughing and rejoicing in the life this person lived, and nothing said about the life which is to come. Well, this verse in Ecclesiastes is counterintuitive. Indeed, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. But let me pursue this just a bit further. The average reader of the book of Ecclesiastes would come to this verse and just shake his head and say, everyone knows that the day of birth is a happy occasion and the day of death is a sad occasion. And everyone universally recognizes that the day of birth is much better than the day of death. Therefore, this verse is nothing but the cynical ramblings of a morbid, depressed King Solomon. He's having a bad day. On a better day, when things are going well and he's thinking more clearly and more rationally, he would, of course, say the opposite. He would say the day of one's birth is better than the day of one's death. As if there were no question, and as if the Word of God doesn't know what it's talking about. Or some might take this slant on it. Solomon is talking like a philosophical nihilist. He's underscoring how difficult life on earth is. He's saying life is bad, and it is so bad that it's better not to live at all. And if you have to be born, then it's better to leave this world than to enter it. The day of birth should be cursed rather than celebrated. Solomon is just a sarcastic pessimist here. But our purpose today is to understand this verse and to see that what Solomon writes here by inspiration is in fact absolutely true for some people. Not for everyone, but for some people. In the case of some people, this is how we ought to think. Even though we don't think that way naturally, this is how we ought to think if we're guided by the Word of God concerning some people. Solomon then is not contrasting a bad thing with a good thing here. He's contrasting a good thing with a better thing. The day of one's birth is a good day. Even our Lord Jesus himself affirmed that when he said, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, but her, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. During the pangs of delivery, a woman may say, I'm not going to have any more children. And then, half an hour later, she says, I take back what I said. As soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. The day of birth is a good, happy day. When a mother is with child, we count down the weeks and the days. How much longer? When's the due date? There's great anticipation. And when the day finally comes and the baby is born, there's gladness and rejoicing. We have a party. And every year thereafter, we commemorate that day. Or somebody in the family, those close to the individual, commemorate that day as a special day. September 25th, year of our Lord 1938, was no exception in the Webster household in Muskogee when they welcomed Johnny into this world. I'm sure it was a happy day, a good day. But our text tells us that the day of one's death is even better. Now, how can this be? And for whom does it hold true? That's the real question. For whom is it true that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth? It is for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who know Him as Lord and Savior. Who are described, even in the earlier part of this verse, as those who have a name or a good name. They have been made good, given a good name in God's sight because of the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to them. And they come to be called by Christ's name. And I want to emphasize this. If you don't hear anything else that I say here today, I beg you to hear this. People do not go to heaven because they're good people. They go to heaven because they have a good Savior. And yes, that good Savior works in our hearts and transforms us and sanctifies us and makes us to some extent good people. But it's not our goodness that takes us to heaven. It's the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ground of our acceptance with God is His perfection credited to us by faith. Imputed righteousness, in other words. For such ones, the day of death is better than the day of birth. Better to leave this world, because upon leaving this world, we enter into a better world. And so we can say this. November 11th of 2020 was even better than September the 25th of 1938. Because Johnny was a believer in Christ. And as happy as her birthday was, her death day was even better. Better for her. Not better for the rest of us who miss her. So let's pursue this a bit further. Why is the death day better than the birthday for a Christian? Well, just consider these contrasts briefly. The day of birth puts us into a sinful nature. We're born with that bent toward sin and that corruption through and through. But the day of death for a Christian puts us into a sinless nature, incapable of sin. A nature that is like Christ's in that regard. Again, the day of birth puts us under a curse in Adam. The day of death puts us under fullness of blessing in Christ. The day of birth puts us into a world where sin abounds. The day of death for a Christian puts us into a world where grace abounds and where holiness abounds. The day of birth, or in the day of birth, we enter a world full of trouble. As Job says, he that is born of woman, or man that is born of woman, is of few days and full of trouble. We enter a world full of conflict, sorrow, sickness, disappointment. For a Christian, at the day of death, we enter into a world full of perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect contentment. There are no fears and no tears in that place. In the day of birth, we are born estranged from God. Our sin separates us from Him. But if we die in Christ, the day of death brings us into the immediate presence of God. Having been reconciled to Him by Christ, the day of death brings us ever closer to Him. And as John says, we see Him as He is, in all the fullness of His glory. That will be the glorified state after the resurrection. These are wonderful contrasts, aren't they? And this is why this verse speaks the truth. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Heaven is a place of perfection. We leave this world for a better world. There's perfect holiness, love, joy, peace, harmony when we go to be with the Lord in death. Our battles are over. Our victory won. Our race finished. Our labor ended. And we enter into rest. Faith is turned into sight then. And we are nearer to God than we ever were on this earth. And not only that, but we are gathered with all of the believers that we have known on this earth who have gone before us. And of course, all those whom we've not known who have gone on before us who were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a scene, what a gathering it must be. And we ought to look forward to it. There's no doubt that the day of death is better than the day of one's birth if you're a Christian. Let me give you the same principle from a couple of New Testament passages. We might think of these as parallel passages. Paul writes to the Philippians these words, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Listen, one of the best sermons, of C.H. Spurgeon, one that helped me particularly at a time of need, is a sermon on this text, "To die is gain." But he goes on to say, "But if I live in the flesh," in other words, if I don't die right away and I live on a little longer, "this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." He says, if it were left up to me, I'm not sure what I would choose. "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Listen to that. Far better. What's Paul saying? He's saying the same thing Solomon said here in Ecclesiastes. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to stay on this earth and in this body, is more needful for you." Paul's love for the Philippians gave him some pause and made him torn between staying on earth to help them versus going to heaven to be with Christ, which would be far better for him personally. Again, he says to the Corinthians these words. "We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle," he's referring to the human body, "were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." He says, we long for a glorified body. "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." He says, we don't look forward to a disembodied state. It is the final state of glory that we're really looking forward to, even though the spirit without the body is with the Lord. And even that state is far better than anything on this earth. Let me just skip down here to verse 8. He says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather." He says, this is my preference. "We're willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." As much as we don't look forward to leaving this earthly body in the hour of death, it will be an improvement because the Spirit will go to be present with the Lord. Again, he's affirming Solomon in Ecclesiastes. In another passage, you know, he speaks of how that in Christ death has lost its sting. A Christian really shouldn't fear death. Death has lost its very character. And I think more often than not in the New Testament, it's not even called death for a Christian. It's called falling asleep. Falling asleep is a peaceful event that we look forward to at the end of the day. And so death should be for a child of God. It doesn't mean that we always are thinking like we should and that we always look at it that way. But just remember this. If you are a Christian and you're troubled about thoughts of death, remember this: God will give you the grace you need when you need it. If he hasn't given you dying grace today, it's probably because you're not going to die today. He'll give you dying grace when you need it. So don't worry that he will abandon you in that hour. He will be with you. Maurice Roberts calls death for the Christian the golden door to glory. It's better. That day is better than the day of birth because it will be a drastic improvement over anything we've known in this life. Let me give you just a few words of wisdom from some old writers. Thomas Watson says, Death breaks the union between the body and the soul, but perfects the union between Christ and the soul. That's profound. Thomas Boston says, in the day of his birth, he was born to die, but in the day of his death, he dies to live. When Martin Luther was approaching death, he said to his wife, Catherine, do not grieve for me, for I am going to the only one who loves me more than you do. Speaking of the Savior. And another saint whose name is not well known, but I read about, hearing from his physician that he had only a few days to live, said, that's the best news I've heard in 20 years. Now, I don't expect that his loved ones would say that at that time, but he himself could say it. What a difference the Christian gospel makes. What a difference Christ makes. What a difference the biblical perspective makes. It enables us to see that which is impossible for natural man to see. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Now, let me just conclude here by saying this. There is another pivotal day that is not mentioned in this text. This text mentions only 2 days. What we call the DOB, date of birth, and the DOD, date of death. But between those 2 days, there is a very pivotal, crucial day. What some call that hyphen, that little hyphen on the tombstone between the day of birth and the day of death, there's a day in that hyphen that is a day of salvation, a day of conversion, a day of new birth, a day of beginning new life in Christ, with Christ, beginning to walk with Christ, exercising repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that day is not in the experience of a person while he lives on this earth, then it is not true to say that the day of death is better than the day of his birth. It's just the opposite. What Jesus said about Judas Iscariot would even apply better if he'd not even been born at all. But there's no way to be unborn now. And so the only solution is to be born again. Then and only then are you ready to die. Then and only then will the death day be better than your birthday. You're only ready to live when you're ready to die. And for a Christian, death is no stranger, because spiritually he has died to self already, and has been dying every day since he first came to life in Christ. The truth is, all of us are dying, and all of us will die in one of two ways. We will either die in our sins, or we will die in the Lord. Those are the terms of the New Testament. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am the Savior, you will die in your sins. Those who die in their sins will find that the day of death will be the worst day of their life. But on the other hand, there is such a thing by the grace of God as dying in the Lord. As the book of Revelation says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And for them, the day of death will be their best day. So, my friend, how will it be with you? How will your death day be? It will either be your worst or your best. If you want it to be your best day, then you must turn from your sin and come to Christ and trust in Him. Take Him as your Lord and Savior. Come to Him now. Let's examine our hearts, each of us before God this day.